Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
The invaders' ship up in flames, and the U.S. sends a warning to the Russians. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
President Biden says if Putin uses chemical weapons,
we would respond if he uses it.
His meeting in Brussels with NATO leaders uniting against the Russian invasion. The flaming ruins of a Putin warship. Ukraine striking back. Still Mariupol under attack. Thousands wait in line for food and supplies. The war enters its second month. A major change for vaccine mandates in New York.
Kyrie, you should get vaccinated.
But either way, now he can play. But for cops and firefighters, different story. Adventures with a purpose.
We all just want to help.
Meet the search and rescue dive team, helping families with missing loved ones.
We take what we do very, very seriously.
The mission and how you can help. The truck caught in the New Orleans tornado? Hear from the teenage driver. Miami Beach spring break curfew. We're live in South Beach. And Cinderella back to the dance. St. Peter's stash? His dad's here live.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening. The free world must stay united to stop Vladimir Putin and make his barbaric invasion of Ukraine as painful as possible for Russia. That was the message from President Biden today. He delivered it during historic emergency summits of allied leaders in Brussels as Vladimir Putin wages an unprovoked war at NATO's doorstep.
Today marks 1 month since Russia began its carnage in Ukraine, the brutal invasion of Ukraine. The single most important thing is for us to stay unified and the world continue to focus on what a brute this guy is and all the innocent people's lives are being lost and ruined.
The president announcing even more sanctions to punish Moscow as the Russian economy spirals. Mr. Biden also vowing to respond in kind if Putin uses chemical weapons in Ukraine. He did not spell out what the U.S. and NATO response might look like. Today, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, accused Russia of using phosphorus bombs in Ukraine. Now, technically, white phosphorus is not considered a banned chemical weapon, but intentionally using it on civilians would be a war crime. Phosphorus is notorious for causing horrific injuries. It burns human flesh, sometimes down to the bone. As war rages, the Ukrainians are fighting back in a big way now. Look at this. Today we saw what could be the most stunning blow to the Russian war machine yet. The Ukrainians say they destroyed a Russian warship while it was docked at a port that the Russians occupied. Here it is, erupting like a volcano. You can see that other ships there were next to it. They pulled up anchor and sailed away from the burning wreck. One of those ships is also on fire. The Ukrainians say it was the same landing ship seen here. Russian state media broadcast video of it just days ago as it offloaded armored vehicles at that same port. The Ukrainian military mockingly thanked the Russian correspondent for his report on the ship's location. The destroyed ship was docked near the besieged and devastated city of Mariupol in southern Ukraine. New drone video shows hundreds of people waiting in long lines. Look at this. They just want food and humanitarian aid. You can see the charred, hulking ruins of apartment buildings in the background. We have team coverage tonight. NBC's Cal Perry reports from western Ukraine. First, CNBC senior White House correspondent Kayla Tausche traveling with the president in Brussels. Kayla.
Shep, at a trio of emergency summits today in Brussels, President Biden and world leaders crafting plans to further isolate Russia while bracing for Vladimir Putin to unleash his deadliest weapons. NATO warning Russia it cannot win a nuclear war and sending equipment to Ukraine to protect against chemical attacks. A senior U.S. official says allies are discussing sending anti-ship missiles to Ukraine, but in an impassioned plea, Ukraine's president said he needs tanks and planes too.
You can give us just 1% of all your airplanes, just 1% of your tanks. We cannot simply buy it. Such shipment depends on NATO decisions, political decisions, volley fire systems, anti-ship weapons, air defense systems. How can we survive this war without such equipment?
Western allies remain committed to fighting the battle on the economic front. Biden wants to boot Russia from the G20. The G7 countries blocking the Kremlin from tapping its stash of gold, estimated to be worth more than $100 billion, to salvage its currency. A top Biden aide says Putin is propping up the Russian stock market, calling today's partial reopening after a month-long closure a charade. The U.S. today joining Europe in sanctioning all Russian lawmakers, the chief of its largest bank, and more than 40 state-owned defense companies. President Biden says the West will not stop until Putin does.
The maintenance of sanctions, the increasing the pain, and the demonstration why I asked for this NATO meeting today is to be sure that after a month, we will sustain what we're doing, not just next month, the following month, but for the remainder of this entire year. That's what will stop him.
As Europe tries to accelerate a move away from Russian energy, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen tomorrow will ask President Biden for enough natural gas to cover the next two winters. After that meeting, President Biden will head to Poland, where he'll visit the frigid front lines for millions of Ukrainian refugees. Shep?
Kayla Tausche, live with us tonight. The Ukrainians continue to mount a fierce counteroffensive to take back territory from Russian troops. This is new video out of Marikiv, a suburb of Kyiv that Ukrainian forces say they recaptured. NBC's Cal Perry is live in Lviv for us. Cal.
Shep, as we enter the second month of this war, much of the talk is about that video that you're showing there as Ukrainian forces now on the offensive, some 40 miles west of the capital, showing their burned out Russian vehicles. We understand that counterattack is still ongoing as we speak. The UK Ministry of Defense saying it's possible that Ukrainian forces could actually encircle and start to trap some of those Russian units. That would largely increase the number of POWs that the Ukrainians are taking, as well as, of course, Russian casualties, the likes of which we have not seen in generations. Moving to the east of the country, the city of Mariupol again under heavy bombardment, a brief lull today, and you showed it, those long lines of people waiting for supplies. We have seen the Russian military target the food supplies in these cities, targeting grain facilities, targeting markets, and people there are just simply running out of supplies. Here in the capital of Kyiv, we witnessed something pretty amazing this morning, Shep. We saw a Lithuanian group called Blue Yellow transferring gear to the front of this country. We were talking about flak jackets, scopes for sniper rifles, drone equipment, anti-drone equipment, jamming equipment, all of this stuff coming out of Europe. There's so much discussion about the support from NATO allies, so many of these NATO allies, and you see the video there, using NGOs to move this equipment because they themselves don't want to be targeted directly by Russian forces. So again, using middlemen to get this gear into the country. And Shep, a grim milestone that we've crossed just in the past hour, we're hearing from UNICEF about the refugee crisis here. They're updating their numbers, saying now more than half of the children in this country have been displaced in just 1 month of fighting. Mm. Shep.
Cal Perry, live in Lviv. Michael McFaul, now former U.S. ambassador to Russia. He negotiated face-to-face with Vladimir Putin. Ambassador, the U.S. announced sanctions against Russia today. President Biden said we'll take 100,000 refugees into the United States. Is that enough action for where we are in this conflict?
I applaud the action. It's great. 100,000 is great. And I hope that those numbers will go up. I applaud the new sanctions against all those Duma deputies, against German Greff, the head of Sberbank, somebody I know personally. It's long overdue, in my opinion. And against those military industrial officials, that's the right move. And every week, there needs to be new sanctions. It's not enough just to maintain what we have. Every week, in my view, you got to up the sanctions. if Putin is escalating war, we have to escalate the economic pressure on Russia.
You know, President Biden said today he wants Russia out of the G20. And if not, then he says Ukraine should be included in future meetings. I mean, is that a good solution? Can you even visualize these leaders of the free world sitting in a room with Vladimir Putin as he slaughters an entire nation?
I can't. I applaud the president for saying that. I don't think he deserves a place at the G20. And the G20 is not all democracies, by the way. There are some autocrats there, but no autocrat is invading and conducting this senseless, heinous war. Barbaric is the word you use, Shepard. That's exactly the right word for what he is doing in Mariupol today, the likes of which we have not seen for a long, long time in Europe. He's trying to kill everybody in that city to take it over or to get them to flee. There's no place for a guy like that at a G20 summit.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes down. Hey, on NATO, a majority of people in Finland now say they support the country joining NATO. That's a major change from a year ago. Is it time for NATO countries to think about expansion?
Most certainly, if there's a application from Finland, they should take it up and ratify it right away. I think that's a fantastic move by the Finns. But I think right now, the job of NATO is to help Ukraine win. Well, let's just be very clear about it. If Putin loses in Ukraine, that's the best reassurance you can give to our NATO allies on the frontline states next to Russia. But if Putin wins in Ukraine, those frontline states are going to be very nervous about our commitments to defend them if he's on a roll. So actually, our security is very contingent on what happens inside Ukraine. That's why when President Zelensky had the chance to address NATO, he said, give me more weapons. I think he's 100% right. We need to be giving him more weapons to win in this fight against Putin.
Ambassador, you saw the burning ship today. You know, I was trying to think, what is Putin seeing as he's looking at this video, as he's looking at Ukraine blowing up his vessels?
I think he's humiliated. I think his generals are really humiliated.
Yeah, where's his defense minister?
My sense is there's probably some tension between them right now. Because this is not what they planned. Remember, they said they were going to be done in 3 or 4 days. We are now a month into this war. They're nowhere near meeting the military objectives that they set out. And my sense is that Putin is very angry and frustrated with the way this war is going. And that is good news.
Ambassador Michael McFaul, thank you as always. Bringing the warnings of war into the 21st century. Our coverage continues with the app developers inside Ukraine putting a new digital spin on an old system designed to save lives. And just ahead, cracking down on spring break, the curfew about to go into effect on Miami Beach, details of the new rules, and the plan to make sure people don't break them. And they were once on opposite ends of the transportation game. But now Uber and New York City taxis are joining forces.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
A state of emergency set to take effect tonight in Miami Beach. The mayor there says he's imposed it to keep rowdy spring break crowds in check. The city also issuing a strict curfew. Under these new rules, people can't be out on the streets of South Beach between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning. Restaurants can't serve takeout orders during those hours either. Delivery only. and no alcohol sales at liquor stores or mini marts after 6 p.m. But they'll still okay at restaurants and bars. It's all in response to a string of shootings, they tell us, last weekend. City officials say five people hurt. The mayor there is now pleading for partiers to just go somewhere else. This is the second year in a row that Miami Beach has imposed a state of emergency during spring break. CBC's Seema Modi is there now outside the pretty famous South Beach hotspot, the Clevelander, on Ocean Drive. Seema?
Shep, that's right. We are on Ocean Drive here in the heart of South Beach. This is where spring breakers come to party, and the crowds have been only getting bigger by the hour as residents, tourists, even business owners telling us they are bracing for what could be another wild night.
I expect to hear sirens at the stroke of midnight.
A curfew will go into effect in Miami Beach County, but a number of spring breakers tell us they still plan to party.
To be honest, I probably will try to stay out a little bit because I'm not from here. So it's like, you know, I want to enjoy myself. But if it is what it is, you know, like, the curfew.
Others are changing plans. A group of college students in town from Ohio have decided to cut their trip short. Miami Beach Mayor Dan Gilber says if the curfew doesn't stop the violence, his options are limited.
The curfew is the only thing we really have left to do. Maybe an earlier curfew, which I'd hate to have to do, but if we have to, we will. We can't allow streets to be unsafe.
Mayor Gilber says the spring break crowds have drawn criminals from close by and further afield.
We've had people from out of town come and shoot, you know, with weapons that they found here. We had locals from the region be here, gang members, drug dealers, people trying to exploit the volume of young people that are here. So you see all of it, frankly. You know, but whatever it is, we can't allow it to continue.
Critics say the mayor is overreacting. Stephen Hunter Johnson, a member of Miami-Dade's Black Advisory Board, says, quote, the only emergency is that black people are on the beach. Mitch Novick, owner of Sherbrooke Hotel, says he's already had tourists cancel bookings.
I've had three cancellations, two of guests who were here that just were afraid.
Less than 5 hours till the curfew goes into effect, and a number of people we spoke to say they weren't even aware that this curfew exists, and that's why cops about a half an hour before midnight are expected to go around to ensure people are aware of the punishments. There's heavy law enforcement you'll see on every block, but the hope is that over time this crime will become less of an issue for the city of Miami Beach. Shep?
Seema Modi on South Beach. Uber announcing a deal today to add New York City taxis to its app. The move coming is a bit of a surprise considering the history. Old school taxi services have been feuding with Uber since it first came on the scene about 13 years ago. And the timing of the deal comes after some Uber ridership nosedive during the pandemic. The company reported ride-sharing revenue dropped by 43% from 2019 to 2020. This new taxi deal could potentially fill in those gaps. Even with the new partnership, some are still mighty skeptical. The head of New York City Taxi Workers Alliance saying in a statement, after its business model has shown the failures to protect drivers from ridership downturns and rising gas prices, Uber is returning to its roots, yellow cabs. And fear not, you can still flag them down with a hand in the air like always. Hundreds of drivers in Chicago treated to a free tank of gas today. Businessman Willie Wilson footed the bill. He sponsored a citywide gas giveaway for the second time in a week with $1 million of his own money.
I'm probably more happy than they are. It's just a pleasure just to help.
That's the man giving it away. Each driver allowed to up to $50 worth of free gas. Lots of takers. Cars lined up as early as 3 in the morning for the 7 a.m. start. You can see the line stretching for blocks here with police officers on hand to try to control the traffic. Those prices ticking up, but the generosity of one person making tough times just a little bit easier, at least for today. A pandemic, severe weather, war, and we're living through extreme situations. And some people are preparing for even worse. Next, they'll take us inside their doomsday bunkers to show us how. Southwest Airlines unveiling a new flight plan. If you're sitting on some unused travel credits, you're probably going to love this one.
This podcast is supported by FedEx.
Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
The Doomsday Clock. It estimates how close we are to a civilization-ending apocalypse. Right now, it's set at 100 seconds to midnight. That's the closest it's ever been to the witching hour. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists say we are at doom's doorstep. To blame, they say, security threats, a lack of climate policies, and an insufficient response to the pandemic rolled into one big mess. Scientists set the clock back in January, before Russia even invaded Ukraine. They say the clock is meant to encourage the world to work together to ease the threats facing all of us. But some prefer we just get ready in case midnight strikes. Here's CNBC's Rahel Solomon.
Doomsday end of the world preppers, once synonymous with fringe fanatics, hoarding supplies suddenly look a lot less crazy these days. Jason Charles is a former New York City firefighter and proud prepper.
My definition of a prepper is somebody who prepares for anywhere between small emergencies to large emergencies. This mask is a nuclear biological chemical mask.
Jason, who also hosts the Angry Prepper channel on YouTube with 117,000 subscribers, has spent decades gearing up for just about every disaster imaginable.
This is what a prepper closet in the city looks like.
My food supply will last for 2 years for four people. My wife, my son, my daughter, and then we even have food supply for the dog.
All in, Jason spent thousands on his arsenal of supplies, gear, and training. His best guess on the total cost? Over 60 grand. And he's not alone.
Every time I go to the store, I'm grabbing a little bit of extra stuff.
Brooke Whipple, an outdoor educator who lives in rural Michigan, turned to prepping during the height of the pandemic.
And you know, it really doesn't even take a pandemic. It takes an ice storm or a blizzard or a tornado.
Here, Brooke is using this at-home freeze dryer to help preserve and store her food supply. The shelf life of these strawberries? Over 20 years.
Smells so good.
Oh, wow.
This is an industrial-sized freeze dryer. It's large enough to hold up to 10,000 pounds of food.
That is equivalent to about 15 people's worth of food for a year.
Eric Christensen is the CEO of Nutrient Survival. The company, originally focused on nutritious food supplies for camping, made a major pivot during the pandemic.
Store shelves were empty, and we actually had the infrastructure in place with our process and our freeze dryer that we could address that market need.
Now, they exclusively focus on the emergency food market. Many of his clients, extreme preppers. And Eric says days after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, business shot up 1,500%.
We are selling food faster than we can make it. The reality is that our business has been on fire for the whole year, and we can't keep up with demand.
And the threat of extreme weather, an escalating war in Europe, and new variants is likely to keep that demand coming. For the news, I'm Rahel Solomon.
Every year, Nike creates some of its most sought-after sneakers, not by hiring some of the biggest designers in the game, but by bringing in the kids. And our coverage of the war continues. An upgrade to a life-saving alert system. Plus, 1 month in, Ukraine refuses to back down. But as Russia makes advances in some parts of the country, can they hold on? The details as we approach the bottom of the hour and the top of the news on CNBC. These are the sneakers that every sneakerhead wants to get their hands on. They're among the most unique, exclusive, and sought-after kicks around. So who designs them? Kids. Kids at the Dornbecker Children's Hospital in Portland, Oregon. It's part of a program with Nike that helps raise money and spirits. Here's CNBC's Frank Holland.
I really wanted to highlight how important it is to love how you look and love yourself for who you are.
Sneakers with a soul in more ways than one. Zoe Taft designed her Nike Dunks to reflect her love for the University of Oregon Ducks and the Children's Hospital that gave her back her smile.
Dornbecker Children's Hospital was the first hospital I went to that really listened to me and actually realized something was really wrong.
Zoe struggled with pain before her diagnosis of GPA, an autoimmune disease. The teen says her time in Dornbecker was life-changing.
I wanted to really highlight the nurses that took care of me in the hospital. I actually was somewhat inspired by them that I am going into the nursing field now.
Nike started the Dornbecker collection in 2004. Sales of the kid-inspired Jordans, Dunks, and Air Max sneakers have raised more than $30 million for the hospital. The Dornbecker has also become one of the hottest shoes in the resale market.
Definitely very spicy.
Sneaker entrepreneur Vernon Sims says collectors pay top dollar for a Dornbecker.
You see things on these Dornbeckers that you don't see on a regular design, right?
That is very true for Michael Wilson's design. His personality baked in.
One of my really big details in shoe is the mac and cheese, since that's my favorite food.
The fifth grader spent more than 200 days in the hospital with Krabbe disease. His Jordans express his joy to go back home and get back to playing basketball.
Working with Nike's just been a dream.
And the Dornbeckers go on sale in stores at the end of April. Many will be put on the resale market, sites like StockX, Flight Club, and Stadium Goods, where their price will multiply. The sneaker reseller I spoke with say they really have a cult following because of how unique and limited they are. And, Chef, if you give me your size, I got a guy.
Franks, thanks so much. The U.S. labor market continues to tighten, and that's what's topping CNBC on the Money. New jobless claims dropped to 187,000 last week. That's the lowest level in more than 52 years. That's new today from the Labor Department. The low number reflecting a job market that the Fed chair recently described as tight to an unhealthy level. California, Michigan, and Kentucky had the biggest drops in claims. Southwest Airlines unveiling a new fare category today. They're calling it Wanna Get Away Plus. The key perks here, you can transfer flight credits and have a no-cost day-of-flight change if the seats are available. It's the carrier's second cheapest option and its first new fare class in 15 years. And Sweet 16 play starts tonight in the NCAA tournament, and with it, some sweet deals. At Krispy Kreme, get a free glazed donut through Sunday when you show your NCAA bracket. At Taco Bell, live Moss with free nacho fries. And over on McDonald's, McDonald's with daily deal through its app. 30-cent apple pies today, 80-cent chicken McNuggets on Sunday. Then next Saturday, Final Four, a four-piece McNuggets for 40 cents. Then April 4th, the last two for the national championship, a Big Mac for $2. On Wall Street, the Dow up 349, S&P up 64, the NASDAQ up 269, nearly 2%. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news.
A tornado picked up his truck, spun it around, and put it down. Now, hear from the teenager behind the wheel. Air raid sirens used in Ukraine to get people to safety, but not everybody can hear them. Meet the app developers rolling out a high-tech version. But first, a month ago today, Putin's war machine sparked the largest military conflict in Europe since World War II.
And now the violence and destruction continues with no end in sight. The Pentagon estimates Russian forces have fired more than 1,200 missiles at Ukraine. The explosions have reduced some cities to rubble. In fact, Ukraine's infrastructure has suffered at least $100 billion in damage. That's from the Ukraine government. It's difficult to figure out the exact number of civilians killed, but the State Department reports Russian forces have killed more than 2,400 people in Mariupol alone, millions more forced to evacuate. According to the United Nations, the conflict has led to more than 3.6 million refugees. Still, Ukraine has managed to withstand Russia's assault. not only defending cities, but also retaking territory. Retired Marine Colonel Brendan Kearney now. He served tours in Afghanistan, Asia, and Europe. Colonel, thank you. Ukraine's Navy says it destroyed this Russian naval vessel in the Black Sea this morning. That's one of the first major counterstrikes we've seen at sea. What does this signal to you?
It signals to me that the Russians have clearly lost the initiative, and it has shifted over to the Ukrainians. And they are launching these localized counterattacks and attacks in the case of this amphib and the Sea of Azov that really continues to impress all of us that made the military a profession.
We were thinking, how do you take a ship out like that? You know, what do they have that would do that?
The Ukrainians are in possession of not only ship-to-ship missiles, but shore-to-ship missiles. And they're, if you think in terms of the Javelin that we've all been watching work here on Russian armor, you're looking at something that is by a magnitude a larger warhead and greater range, but it works just as well. It'll do significant destruction to a ship.
You know, the Russians have made some advances in the eastern part of the country, in particular, near the Dead Sea. If they continue to advance from the east, what sort of pressure does that put on Ukraine?
Well, you know, it does put pressure on Ukraine, but Ukraine is operating on a principle of what we call interior lines. As they continue to fall back, that allows them shorten supply lines. And what it does is it increases the Russian supply lines, which already their logistics chains have proven to be utterly incompetent in trying to keep their own people supplied. So in many respects, the further the Russians go into Ukraine, the greater the advantage is to the Ukrainians.
You know, the problem for the Ukrainians is they've been at this for so long. They don't have the numbers that the Russians have. How high the concern about fatigue? Can they keep this up?
They can keep it up for as long as they want to. You know, the siege of Leningrad, now St. Petersburg in World War II, 872 days. And the Ukrainians have shown no sign of any weakness on their part. The morale is on their side.
Colonel Kearney, can't thank you enough. Appreciate your time tonight. Soviet-era air raid sirens once again echoing through the streets of Kyiv today, warning people to take shelter immediately. The wailing sirens have become a constant background noise across cities in Ukraine. Now, a group of Ukrainian app developers has created an updated warning system. It's helping to save lives. Jacob Soboroff reports from the western city of Lviv.
As Russia's bombardment of Ukraine continues, across the country, a familiar noise.
This is the fourth time today that the air raid sirens have gone off. Yesterday, they went off five different times.
Ukrainian President Zelensky, in an address earlier this week, playing the blaring siren, urging Ukrainians to get used to it.
Feels like a tech office in here.
Including Valentine Hritsenko. The 32-year-old works for Ajax Systems, one of Ukraine's largest tech companies. And inside a building he asked us not to identify, we found his colleagues bringing Ukraine's air raid alert system into the 21st century. In the days after the invasion started, they developed and launched the app Alarm, a siren in the palm of your hand that sounds like the one on the streets. This is what it looks like on our producer's phone.
This is not a couple of college kids sitting in a dorm room putting this together.
No. It's very, very senior developers.
Old school air raid alerts are sent to the streets by an official pushing a button. Now that same official also pushes a second button that triggers the app, which often alerts people faster than the sirens. The app's also given a lifeline to people in rural Ukraine, where air raid sirens don't always exist.
How many people have downloaded the app?
4 million.
4 million?
Yeah.
That day, the Russians released footage of what they said was an attack on a military base in Rivne. Valentine got word of it, too.
Army guys, they heard the alert from our app, and they went to shelter.
And you guys saved their lives?
Yes.
At least eight, he told us.
How does that feel?
I'm proud of our company and of our team.
Like the sirens, the app sounds the all clear, and they'll keep updating it.
Different types of alerts, like chemical, nuclear.
That's just terrifying to hear.
Yeah.
But that could be a reality.
So it's better to be prepared.
For the news, I'm Jacob Soboroff.
Here in the U.S., cleanup's underway after the massive storms that rocked several states this week. In Louisiana, St. Bernard Parish police identifying the man who died during tornadoes Tuesday. Here he is, 25-year-old Connor Lambert. As a kid, he played football at Chalmette High and had been working as an engineer at NASA. The National Guard handing out tarps and clearing roads around. According to PowerOutage.us, most people in St. Bernard Parish have their electricity back. And in Araby, a tornado threw this entire home 30 feet from its original location. Inside at the time, a girl with muscular dystrophy and her mother. The girl was on a breathing machine in her bedroom when the winds hit. The fire department found her in the wreckage and carried her out in a blanket. She and her mother are expected to be just fine. The storm system hit South Carolina overnight, at least a dozen homes damaged. Emergency management crews say they rescued people trapped under a mobile home. The National Weather Service reports it'll do an assessment today to determine whether a tornado did all the damage. And in Texas, remember this truck? It got caught in the middle of a tornado on Monday. We showed you the video earlier this week. The wind flips the truck for a moment, then it lands back on its wheels and appears to keep driving. Well, now we're hearing from the driver of that truck, a 16-year-old named Riley Leon. He says he was on his way back from a job interview at Whataburger, which is delicious. He called his friend to tell him that he got the job and that's when the storm got him.
On the video, it looked like I drove off, but in reality, I didn't. I landed in the center of the road, and I was just driving to get off outside the road.
Yeah, just kept going. Right, look at it again. Riley said he didn't know whether to hold on to the steering wheel or just pray. After that, police came to check on him. An officer said he looked like he was in shock, kind of. Riley says he called his mom to tell her he was okay. Here is what the truck looks like now. Riley says it still cranks, but you can't drive it. He's set to start work at Whataburger next week. But right now, Riley says he's not really sure how he's going to get there. Cold cases, unsolved mysteries. Most of them have at least one thing in common. People who want answers.
That's gonna get us somewhere.
Next, meet the team of volunteer divers finding closure for families. And under new vaccine mandate rules, athletes can pay, but cops and firefighters, sanitation workers, no way. The changes in New York City that some workers say is a double standard where only the rich and famous win. A group of volunteer divers taking on missing person cold cases. They're called Adventurers with a Purpose. Their mission? Help families find their missing loved ones. They've solved 20 cases so far, and now they say they just cracked a nearly 20-year-old one. Earlier this week, the group posted a video on their YouTube channel about a missing man named James Amable. Amable disappeared back in 2003. His family reported him missing after he never showed up to pick up his daughters from a babysitter. And now, this group of divers say they think they've found his remains at the bottom of a creek in Pennsylvania. CNBC's Valerie Castro has their story.
We usually check the waters that are deep enough to, you know, conceal a vehicle. What lurks beneath the surface is out of sight, out of mind.
Submerged in murky waters.
3 feet of visibility, 14 feet.
Adventures with a Purpose, a volunteer search team finds answers some families never thought they'd get.
I do believe I am at the vehicle. I repeat, I am at the vehicle. License plate reads FLA478. We have found Jimmy's vehicle. I repeat, we have discovered Jimmy's vehicle.
Jimmy Amable went missing in Pennsylvania in 2003. Now it seems he's finally been found in Delaware County's Darby Creek.
This is Jimmy's vehicle.
What?
This is
Jimmy Trump.
We start with the facts of the case. What can we find out? Where was their last known whereabouts? Is there an X factor?
Douglas Bishop is a diver with the team, using sonar technology to search bodies of water, often long after an official investigation has been called off.
We all just want to help, and it's not that we're doing something that they couldn't do. We're just different.
The team documents their work in YouTube episodes.
31 years later, we're looking for a green vehicle.
With a following of more than 2 million subscribers who support their efforts with donations.
We do not charge families and we do not charge law enforcement a dime because the community makes that possible.
In Amabile's case, his family says he went missing after leaving home to pick up his daughters from daycare.
He ended up 2 miles down the street, made a wrong turn, and this street ran directly into the water. We were lucky that we found him because they built a marina on top of him.
One of the pilings from the marina found drilled right through the hood of his car.
Clear through the engine bay.
The discovery, finally the answer to a 19-year-old question.
We take what we do very, very seriously. There's no true words to describe, you know, what it's like to be able to do this. It's extremely humbling and it's an honor to be able to do this.
The Delaware County Medical Examiner is still working to positively identify the remains using dental records and DNA. Amabile's family says he was diabetic and would sometimes get confused when his blood sugar was low, and they believe that's what may have happened while he was driving the day he disappeared. Chip?
You know, I was thinking, what's law enforcement's take on this? They obviously worked on these cases, and now these volunteers are solving them.
Well, Chip, the divers say that police departments actually welcome their help in solving these cold cases, given just how successful they've been. And they use technology that most departments just didn't even have when these people first went missing. One person they found was reported missing 30 years ago.
Wow. Chip. Valerie, thanks. The next hurdle for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson set for April the 4th. That's when the Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to vote on her nomination to the Supreme Court. Judge Jackson did not testify today. Instead, the committee heard testimony from an array of outside witnesses, including representatives of the American Bar Association. After research and hundreds of interviews, the ABA gave Judge Jackson their seal of approval.
Reflecting the combined views of more than 250 judges, attorneys, and academics, the Standing Committee concluded that Judge Jackson is well qualified to serve as an associate justice on the Supreme Court.
Well, Alabama's Attorney General was the witness for the Republicans today. He testified against Judge Jackson by saying she's received support from activist groups that back defunding the police. Judge Jackson's confirmation, though, is all but guaranteed. Democrats say she'll have no problem making it out of committee and that she may even pick up some Republicans when it all goes to the full Senate. Only a simple majority needed. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he expects the full vote before April the 8th. If convicted, Judge Jackson will be the first black woman on the U.S. Supreme Court. The New York City Mayor Eric Adams facing new backlash tonight. He just lifted the city's vaccine mandate for professional athletes and performers, but he'll keep it in place for thousands of city workers. You can see where this is going. Critics accusing Adams of giving special treatment to the rich and famous. The mayor says he made the decision to give the city an economic boost.
By putting our home teams on equal playing field, we increase their chances of winning. And that has a real impact on our city. This is just not fans in the stands, but it is people in the stores. These are real dollars, and they play a major role.
And money for the owners. The move allows unvaccinated players, including the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, to lace up once again for home games. NBA playoffs, incidentally, start in 3 weeks. And baseball's opening day in 2 weeks for the Yanks and the Mets. But truth be told, it doesn't level the playing field for everybody. Last month, the city fired more than 1,400 government employees for refusing to get vaccinated. Teachers, cops, firefighters, and sanitation crews out of a job. Today, Mayor Adams told reporters he has no intention of rehiring any of them. He says the issue's been settled in the courts. That's not sitting well with the unions for the city's teachers and paramedics and sanitation workers and cops. They're claiming a double standard. In a statement, the police union president wrote in part, "If the mandate isn't necessary for famous people, then it's not necessary for the cops who are protecting our city in the middle of a crime crisis." It goes on, "They don't deserve to be treated like second-class citizens now." The standout surprise team for March Madness, zero doubt, the St. Peter's Peacocks. The Cinderella squad out of Jersey practicing today ahead of their Sweet 16 matchup tomorrow. The 15 seed going from obscurity to the spotlight, propelled by their star player, the stash-rocking Doug Eddard. Next, the man the stash calls Pops. Bill Eder, Doug's dad, is live here. Strut up. Strut up, New Jersey. Less than 24 hours, the mighty Peacocks of St. Peter's will tip off in the Sweet 16. They're set to meet the 3-seed Purdue, 12-point favorites. Peacocks aren't just this year's Cinderella. They are the ultimate underdog. St. Peter's is a tiny Jesuit university in the heart of Jersey City. Two-thirds of the student body, black or Hispanic. Many who attend are first-generation college students. And now, the men's basketball team putting them on the map.
We're actually happy to see that we're making history and that St. Peter's University is shocking the country and everybody's seeing it.
So are we. Just to give you a sense of the true David versus Goliath moment, St. Peter's has 34,000 living alumni. Purdue has 40,000 undergrads right now. St. Peter's website crashed when the Peacocks upset Kentucky last week. The school's bookstore sold out of the blue and white gear ever since. Officials there say orders are coming in from all over the country, including Kentucky. They love that. The Wildcats. The Wildcats were the first giant they slayed. That New Jersey pride runs deep. Governor Phil Murphy tweeted this photo, a highway sign, big and bold, just like the Peacocks on the court. The players will tell you the swagger comes from the coach, Shaheen Holloway, straight out of Queens, New York, no stranger to March Madness. Look at this. Here he is. He took Seton Hall dancing back in 2000. That's actually the last time a team from the New York metro area played in the Sweet 16. This season, Coach Holloway's team was upended by a COVID outbreak. It shut down the Peacocks for nearly a month. But he says they used that time to their advantage. The coach tweaked his lineup, worked with the players one-on-one, and through it all, he kept preaching his mantra. Practice is hard. Games are easy.
Everybody, like, how you guys going to compete? How you guys going to compete with certain guys' physicality? They big, they strong. I'm like, and I believe it. When you got kids from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, the Tri-State area, like, this is what these kids is built for. Like, they built for that. They built off that. I'm built for that. I coach that way. So we're not going to be intimidated or from anybody.
We believe. This is one of the guys Coach Holloway recruited right out of high school, Doug Eddert. The pride of Nutley, New Jersey, who played for nearby powerhouse Bergen Catholic. He's developed into quite a star for St. Peter's. His stash, now famous on social media. But it's his grit on the court that's helping fuel the Peacocks' Cinderella run.
I feel like people from New Jersey and New York, we're all hard-nosed people. We love putting in the work, and we thrive with our toughness.
Eddard says that very toughness that gives St. Peter's the confidence to take on any team in the tournament. Even boiler up. Bill Eder joins us now. He's Stash's dad. Can you believe this?
I can. It's actually very surreal.
You know, you told me that you packed for one day.
Yes.
So what'd you do when they won?
We had to do laundry. We had to change our flights. We had to change the hotel. Well worth it, though.
And these shirts, the St. Peter's March Madness shirts, you can't buy those. I've looked and looked and looked.
And the ironic thing to that is when we got there on Wednesday, the vendor said they won't be in until almost game day. So every other college had their shirts, but good old little old St. Peter's didn't even have their shirts ready.
They wish they'd printed a few million now. Could you believe this? I mean, could you see this in your son?
No. What has happened to him right now, the stardom and everything that's happened to him, it's surreal. He's always been a hard worker. In the gym, tough, gritty kid, and his personality is, that's just Dougie. Dougie's a little quirky. He's got a mustache going, lets it rock. He's just, that's who he is.
You know, Kentucky, I'm an SEC guy, you know. You don't beat Kentucky. I mean, it's always full of Kentucky, and there are like 50 of you. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing being there, amazing seeing those kids play as a team.
And you were describing the environment, them and y'all.
So you're looking at, if the stadium holds 18,000, there was probably 17,915 Kentucky fans, about 50 Jersey City fans in the stadium. So when the place got rocking, it was rocking. It was deafening. We don't have a band. They have a band.
Yeah.
We didn't have cheerleaders at the first game. They have cheerleaders. And these kids, young men, pulled it together and did something that nobody thought they could do except for Governor Murphy.
Yeah. And their coach makes more than your whole athletic budget. So tomorrow, you're going to drive down to Philly, about an hour and a half or so drive. You're going to watch the game. What are you expecting? Where are you going to sit?
Tickets haven't been released yet, so I don't know where I'm sitting.
Better be behind the bench.
I'll sit wherever. It doesn't matter. I'll predict they'll lose again because I've been doing pretty well by predicting they were going to lose to Kentucky, predicted they were going to lose to Murray State, so I'll predict they'll lose to Purdue. I'll keep the tradition going here.
And this time, did you get a second day in a hotel room, or are you planning to drive back?
We're going to drive back. This is a close one compared to being out in Indiana.
And if they beat the mighty Boilermakers, you'll
make the trip again?
Head back down the turnpike.
Absolutely.
You call him Little Ted Lasso, I hear. Is that going to stick?
That's my own personal, you know, he's as quirky as Ted Lasso in the movie. Ted Lasso was this quirky guy, but a lovable guy, and everyone enjoyed him. That's the same thing as Dougie. Dougie's a little quirky. He's got a little, barks a little, does a little weird things on the court. He drinks a little caffeine, gets it going before he starts the games. Rocking the mustache, the hair's wild. And once you cross the lines, he's a competitor.
Has it gone to his head yet? You know, I've been afraid they'd come back reading the New York Times going, we're all that.
Never. His first thing is he's been out signing autographs for kids, signing basketballs for kids. He can't believe what happened to him, and he's going in stride. He was in the gym 7 o'clock in the morning. He'll keep doing what he does. He's locked in and ready to go.
Can't wait to watch him. Bill Ettert, good luck to the Stash and all the Peacocks.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Pat.
45 seconds on a race to the finish. Tomorrow, President Biden heads to Poland, a NATO ally that borders Ukraine. Poland is the epicenter of the Ukrainian refugee crisis. It's also where American troops are deployed to reinforce NATO's eastern flank. Tomorrow marks a month since Vladimir Putin launched his full-scale invasion. It's not going so well for Russia. Ukrainian forces say they destroyed one of Russia's warships just today. And now, you know the news. Of this Thursday, March the 24th, 2022. I'm Shepard Smith. I'll be at a baseball game tomorrow. Ole Miss, number one, playing Tennessee, number five. And on my phone, I'll be watching the mighty Peacocks slay those Boilermakers. See you back here Monday. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.